Genesis chapter 37, and we'll actually just kind of finish up a few verses in chapter 37, then we're going to jump over to chapter 39 of Genesis. Chapter 38 is kind of a parenthetical chapter in between the narrative of Joseph's life, and we won't deal with chapter 38, but we will begin in chapter 37 here this morning. Let's pray, and then we'll go to the scriptures, and may God speak to our hearts. Father, do open our eyes and our minds. I pray that we will, with our hearts, feel, and with our minds, think, and through your Spirit, be changed. And I pray this in your name, amen. Talking about the life of Joseph, and we've spent several weeks now in the 37th chapter, and if you'll look at chapter 37, and we'll just begin towards the end of the chapter, verse 32, and they sent the coat, they being Joseph's brothers, you know how they despised him. They sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. We just found it like this, Dad. We don't really know what's going on. It looks like it could be Joseph's coat. We're not sure if it's Joseph's coat. You would certainly know, Dad, whether or not it's his coat. You're the one that gave it to him. He was your favorite. You liked him better than us. Well, here we think this is his coat. This we have found. This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." I don't know if it means anything, but they didn't say, "See whether it's our brother's coat." They said, "He's your son. See if it's his coat." And Jacob looked at it, verse 33, and he knew it. He said, "Yep, this is it. It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." Kind of let him draw his own conclusions, you know. "An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt." I mean, there's just no other conclusion that you can possibly come to. There's just no doubt about it. He's dead. And a horrible death, rent in pieces. "Now, this is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him." What an awful thought. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. What a horrific thought to live with. How many times do you replay that in your brain every time you lay down and try to go to bed at night? And the only thing you can think about is that coat that draws only one conclusion. It's the only conclusion you can have. You can't have another conclusion. Because we know the rest of the story, we go, "Oh, no big deal. We all know he's fine." But Jacob didn't. And if you believe a lie, the emotion is just as true as if it's true. What a horrific thing to have to go to bed with every night. And these 10 boys watched what they put their father through, but their hatred for that one brother was so strong, they were willing to let their father go through this horrific, horrible, emotional event and have to live with it. That's a lot of hatred. Now, I'll stand up here and I'll admit, if you studied Joseph early on when he was a kid and he had the dream and he wore his dad's, you know, the favored coat that his dad gave him, and then he, you know, God gave him dreams and he dreamed dreams and he had to go blab the dreams to his brothers. "Hey, guess what? Listen to this dream." That was Joseph is not necessarily the most likable guy at 17. There's reasons not to like him. It's like, why don't you just close your mouth and, like, keep it to yourself? Back in the Old Testament, Saul was anointed to be king by Samuel, and when Saul returned back home, he was asked, "Anything happen out there?" He said, "No, nothing special." He was like, no, I don't want to talk about it. He didn't come home and say, "Hey, guess what? It's amazing. I met Samuel. He anointed me. I'm going to be like the first king in Israel. It's really awesome." He didn't go around saying, he's just like, no, nothing happened. Don't even talk about it. Shh. Not Joseph. Now, he opened his mouth. He wore the coat of favor. Now, I don't know. Maybe he didn't have a choice. Maybe there was no way for him to not wear it. His dad gave it to him, but, you know, he didn't, like, say, "Dad, you know, I just want to be one of the guys." He wore it. When it came to the dreams, he had to tell everybody. On one hand, I can look at him and go, you know what, if I was one of the 10 brothers, I might be a little bit out of sorts about this kid too. But what they did to him, he didn't deserve that. I mean, when you hate to that point, that's your own problem then. Okay, Joseph's got some problems maybe, some issues that are legitimate to talk about, but when you want to kill him, now that becomes, those 10 brothers had their own issues. Because Joseph didn't deserve that. What he got, he did not earn. What he got, he did not deserve. Those 10 brothers, they had a problem. Sometimes you got to own up to your own problems, you know. They had problems. They got rid of him, brought the lie back to their father, and they were willing to let their father live with this lie. Verse 34, Jacob rent his clothes. He said in verse 33, my son Joseph, he's been rent in pieces. In verse 34, Jacob, he rent his clothes, tore them, and then he put on sackcloth, that awful material that you don't want against your skin because it's going to irritate you. It's going to chafe you. It's going to make you hurt and scratch and itch. And it's awful. And it symbolizes on the outside what's going on the inside. You ever been in a place in life where you wear sackcloth on the inside and you get up with it. It rubs you. It chafes you. It hurts you. And you don't know how to get rid of it. Well, back in this time, you wore it on the outside to let everybody know what you were going through on the inside. So he put on the sackcloth. Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins, and he mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters, verse 35, rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. I will carry this pain within me, in my heart and my soul, all the way to my grave. Thus his father wept for him. He put on sackcloth, and he did it for many days. But there is a time where you have to take the sackcloth off and put on your normal clothes again. You can't live like that. The problem is we oftentimes take off the sackcloth, put on normal, and we're just as broken on the inside as when we had the sackcloth on. So we basically just cover the inner struggle with normal clothing, and nobody knows. And you carry it. Jacob was going to carry it all the way to the grave. In his normal clothes. You get up, you go to work, you earn the paycheck, you pay the bills. You mow the yard, you plant the flowers, you do everything that you normally do. You keep the windows clean. You go to church, you do church, you even do church in your church clothes. Put your church clothes on to go do church and do church. And you smile and you say hi, and you wear your normal on the outside, but you still mourn. Now maybe that's not you this morning. It may not be. It might be. If it's for you, receive it. If not, let it lodge in your brain somewhere, because there will, on your journey through life, there will. You might be young when it happens. You might be middle of the road when it happens. You might be old when it happens. But there will come a day where you will wear normal on the outside and you will suffer with mourning on the inside. It will come. There's all kinds of ways we mask what's going on the inside. We can mask it with a smile. We can paint our faces, comb our hair, put on our regular clothes, try to cover it up. We even say things like, hey, you know, I don't care. I don't care. I don't care anyway. Hey, how you doing? What, you know, something comes up. I don't even care about that. I don't care. Why would I care? Why would I care? Why would I care what that person thinks about me? Why would I care? Okay, that's called normal clothing. Covering a broken problem. Those statements are always, always a little glimpse of something broken that never got fixed. I'm fine. How you doing? I'm fine. Okay. Jacob put on sackcloth for many days, not all his days, many days. There's a point you have to change back, but he said, I'm going to hurt all the way to the grave. Well, those are hard problems to carry. And all his sons and all his daughters, verse 35, rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning. Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him. That's Joseph. They sold Joseph. The Midianites sold him. They sold him. Boy, is that ever different than his dreams. He wasn't being sold in his dreams. In his dreams, it was the sun, the moon, and the stars that were actually bowing down in obeisance to him. In his dreams, he was like a bale of hay and other bales of hay. And he stood up. His bale of hay stood up. And the other bales of hay did obeisance. They showed him reverence. Now he's been sold. He's been sold. Dreams are funny things because the plan never looks like the dream. And I'll say this morning, too, because I don't know who's sitting here in this room and who can receive this and who cannot, because I don't know where you are in your spiritual journey. But if God has ever touched your heart in a special way with a certain desire, and God says when you pray, he'll give you certain desires. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And God puts something in your heart. You would have trouble articulating exactly what it is because you don't fully understand it yourself. But it's something that's in your heart. God put it there. It lodged there. Some passion that burns inside of you. Something. It's there by God. And if you tried to explain it to somebody else, you would sound as silly to whoever you're talking to as Joseph sounded in talking to his brothers about his dreams. But it's there. You can't get rid of it. You can even try to just push God aside altogether, but it's just something that's in you. It's of God. It's almost irritating because sometimes you want it to go away and it can't go away and it just keeps drawing you back, and sometimes it gives you hope and then the hope doesn't fulfill itself again. Again. And it's almost like, God, what are you doing? Because the plan and the dream, they're so different. They're so different. How God will work it out by way of events, it's so different than what you'll picture in your brain that it's almost like, I think I got the wrong dream. I think you stopped by the wrong house. The Midianites sold him, verse 36. They sold him into Egypt. He's not even home in Canaan land anymore. He's now in Egypt. He's been sold. That wasn't in the dream. He's in Egypt. That wasn't in the dream. He's not even an Egyptian. What kind of power could he possibly have as a Hebrew in Egypt? He saw a dream that had power in it, and now he's a slave sold into Egypt. He's not even from there. He can't be president. He doesn't even have a birth certificate to prove anything. He's a Hebrew. God does the craziest things. God took Moses and put him in Pharaoh's house, raised him in Pharaoh's house, fed him at Pharaoh's table, slept him in Pharaoh's bed, did everything. At 40 years of age, he walked, talked, and looked like an Egyptian. And I'm thinking in my mind, this guy's ready to step into power and deliver the Hebrew people. And God said, no, actually, I have to take him way far away from that and bring him back as a shepherd. And you're like, well, man, he was like right there. Why are you taking him out for 40 years to make him a shepherd? And God said, because that's my plan, and I'm going to bring him back and make him a ruler. Yeah. Well, he brings Joseph, a shepherd, down into Egypt to make him a ruler. And you go, who can figure out God? His ways are not our ways. God, what are you up to? Well, just take the journey. Joseph had no idea what he was up to because what God was doing looked totally different than the dream he had. There was no Egypt in the dream, but you know what? Canaan couldn't steward the dream. Mm-mm. Canaan could not steward the dream. His father's house could not steward the dream. God had to take him out of Canaan into Egypt in order for the dream to reach its fruition. The Midianites sold him. Oh, that's a strange step in the dream. They sold him into Egypt. Where'd Egypt come into this? Unto Potiphar. Who's Potiphar? Oh, he's an officer. An officer of the guard in Egypt. Okay, so what's the significance there? Oh, there's a lot of significance to Potiphar. Potiphar's not just a man. He's a certain man in the plan. When Joseph left his father's house, his father said, hey, I need you to go over to Shechem and find your brothers and see if it's okay with them in the flock. So he went to Shechem to find them. They weren't in Shechem, but the Bible says in this chapter, we looked at it over the past weeks, there was a certain man, a certain man. That's specific. God had a certain man. We don't know his name. We can't see his face. God knew a certain man who stood there and said, oh, I saw those guys. They went to Dothan. God will put people and events in your path to show you where you're supposed to go when you don't even know the plan. And the only thing that certain man did was show Joseph the next step. And that's about all you get. Just the next step. God doesn't roll out the whole blueprint. He just shows you the next step in the stairway. So he put a certain man there to say, oh yeah, I know those. I saw those guys. Ten of them, and they got flocks. Yeah, they went to Dothan. So he goes to Dothan. He gets put in the pit in Dothan. But those Midianites, a certain group just happened to be on the spice trail going down to Egypt. Myrrh and balm and spicery. And oh, might as well sell a man too. Yeah, we can get some money out of him. They trafficked a human life like he was a piece of merchandise. But those were certain Midianites, positioned there by God, because Joseph could not remain in Canaan. Joseph could not remain in his father's house. Joseph had to go to Egypt, and he had to hook up with a certain man in Egypt, and the certain man was Potiphar, because Potiphar had the next step in the plan. He was an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. You see, the real connection wasn't even Potiphar. The real connection was Pharaoh. Joseph had an appointment with Pharaoh. That's where God's getting him. Well, there's some steps in the way. Some steps in the way. Only God knows the plan, and God usually only shows us the next step. That's about it. And it rarely, I'm not saying never, there's times it makes total sense, but more often than not on the journey of faith, it's going to stretch your brain and try your heart as God takes you on a journey to the fulfilling of your purpose. And yes, you do have a purpose on this planet. And it is not just to live and die. God has lives to touch through your life and people to reach. People to encourage and people to love that only you can love. Nobody else is even qualified to love them like you can love them. Your kids, there's nobody in this world qualified to love your kids like you love your kids. You have divine purpose. Joseph had divine purpose. Skip over to chapter 39. The story continues. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, because Egypt is the place to steward the dream. And Potiphar, not just a man, a certain man. Why? Because he had the Pharaoh connection. He had the Pharaoh connection. He was one of the steps in the Pharaoh connection. And Joseph had an appointment with Pharaoh. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him. He was bought. That wasn't in the dream. He bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. This verse ends with brought him down. This verse begins with Joseph was brought down. Just so you know, and maybe our journeys all look a little bit different, but I'm going to hazard a guess and say I'm right today. Somewhere on your journey of faith through this life, events are going to bring you down, and there are people who will bring you down. Being brought down just happens on the journey. It just does. I don't care whether you're Moses. I don't care if you're Naomi, I don't care if you're Jacob, and I don't care if you're Joseph, and I don't care if you're the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. I've been both places. Paul, do you know what it is to be brought down? He said, oh, I know what it is to be brought down. Do you know what it is to have other men lay hands on you and take you places you would never have chosen to go? And Paul said, I know that one. Joseph, do you know that one? Joseph would say, I know that one. Sometimes it may not be people. Sometimes it might be events. Events in life lay hands on you and take you where you would never choose to go. And the only way you will get there is if God allows something or someone to bring you there. Because life has a cross, and Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Jesus had to be brought to the cross by the kiss of a friend. Jesus had to be stretched on a cross and nailed by others, because you can't do that yourself. You can't do this yourself. You can't. And you never would. And that's why God allows either events or people to take you where you would never choose to go and leave you standing in a place that makes no sense. Where doubt becomes your worst enemy and you begin to question everything that God has done. And you wonder why. And you look at life and say, did I deserve this? Joseph, did you really deserve this? Look at verse 2, and this is the message. And the Lord was with Joseph. That's easy for me to look at when I know the whole story of Joseph's life and I know where he's going. But when you're in Potiphar's house and you've been bought and you've been brought down and it's not anything you would choose, oh, the emotion is totally different. The struggle is totally different. The trial is totally, it's a fiery trial of faith to look up and say, God, this isn't the dream I had. This was not in my mind when I started out. This isn't what I saw at all. I don't understand the plan. I don't understand my life. I don't know why I'm in Egypt. I don't know why any of this is going on. I don't even know why my brothers hated me that much. But in all of that, the Lord was with him. You say, why? Because this is the plan. Ain't the dream. So how you doing today? Ever met somebody who goes, living the dream, living the dream? Mm-mm, no, you're not. You just think you are. This is living the dream. Yeah. The reality is, when you're living the dream, and I'm not a doom and gloomer. Jesus said, I came to give you life more abundant, and I understand some of that's eternal, but I believe we've got an abundance that's available to us today. I believe that. I'm just saying, in the journey, don't think every day is going to be sunny, and every day is going to be easy, and every event is going to be understandable, because either life or people are going to bring you down somewhere in the journey. But remember, the Lord is with you. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Isn't that crazy? What do you mean he was a prosperous man? He's been hated. He's been thrown in a pit. He's been trafficked as human merchandise. He's been brought down. He's been sold. He's in the house of an Egyptian man. And yet God looked and said, he's a prosperous man. You say, what makes him so prosperous? I'll tell you what makes him so prosperous. One thing that makes him a prosperous man is the fact that God will never let the adverse events of life conquer him. He will always have an answer in the fact that the Lord is with him. That is prosperity. They can rip Dad's coat off of you. They can throw you in a pit, and they can send you to Egypt, but they cannot take away the Lord from you, because he never leaves you. Amen. And he never forsakes you. They can take you where you don't want to go, but they cannot take away the Lord. They can pull the coat of favor off your body, but they cannot remove God's favor from your life. It gets better. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, in the house of his master. Now, in the dream, he was more the master, but here he finds himself as a servant and an Egyptian man, master over a Hebrew boy, a boy who is not that far removed from Father Abraham. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the big three, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph's dad. I mean, he's like really close to Abraham. Now he's down here in servitude to an Egyptian man in Egypt. Verse 3, and his master, Potiphar, his master saw that the Lord was with him. He saw that. That's interesting. He didn't just say, man, this kid's got it together. He actually saw that there was a divine connection between this kid and the Lord, whoever the Lord was to Potiphar. I don't know. Whatever that meant, whoever God was to Potiphar, God looked at Joseph and said, this kid's got something special on his life, and Potiphar could see it. And that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, listen to this. And Joseph found grace, and I realize this is not a reference to the atoning work of grace through Jesus Christ. I realize that, but I love the word. I can't help but park here for a minute. There's grace shows up in the funniest places. Usually broken places where broken people need it, because broken people are the only ones who realize how much they need a little bit of grace, especially when you find yourself a captive in a situation you can't get out of and you didn't choose, and you can't remedy it. And so the only thing you do is can say, could I at least have some grace, some salve for my broken wounds? I need some grace. And down there in Egypt, away from his father, away from his coat of favor, away from his hometown, away from the ice cream shop, away from his bicycle, away from everything, he's down there in Egypt, bought as a piece of merchandise in Potiphar's house. And God says, I've got a little grace for you, and it will be sufficient. Hang on, Joseph. This is just part of the next step. Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. He found grace, and now he's overseer over Potiphar's house. And all that he, that's Potiphar, had, he put into his, that's Joseph's, hand. Grace opened the door for Joseph to hold all the riches and wealth of another man. Is that a sermon or what? Grace opened the door for him to hold in his hands all the riches of another man. God, through his grace, opened the door to give you all the riches that are in Jesus Christ, and you hold them in your hands. If you get this, you'll get the message this morning. And if you get this, you will read this passage differently than you have ever read it before. Hang on, wait till you see. Wait till you see, just a second. Wait till you see what's coming. Because that's so important. Joseph knew that by grace he held all the riches of another man in his own hands. And that's going to have deep meaning with what's just around the corner. He made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hands. Verse 5, and it came to pass, From the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all he had, that the Lord blessed who? Who did the Lord bless? Yeah, the Egyptian's house. Well, that ain't fair. Why didn't Joseph get the blessing? What did the Egyptian do? Just a side note, on your journey of faith, you may come to a place in life where the reality is somebody else walks away with the blessing and you stand there and going, wait a minute. What did he do to get the blessing? He walked away with the blessing. What did I get? Hey, Joseph, what did you get? You know what Joseph got? Betrayed, that's what he got. You may find on your journey of faith, God will allow you to be in a situation where somebody else gets the blessing and you don't. You know why? Because God just wants you to remember that your real blessing is he's with you, period. Give it time. God can do so much more. Hey, this is Potiphar's house. This is just a little working model. Today it's Potiphar's house. God's really just preparing him for Pharaoh's house. So if Potiphar has the blessing, more power to him, because this isn't the destination for Joseph anyway. God's taken Joseph somewhere else. It's just a step in the direction. It's not the final destination. So, Joseph, this really isn't where your blessings are anyway. So, if in the workplace you're out there and it looks like somebody else got your blessing, and that happens, if you've been in the workplace long enough, you know. Out there in corporate America, it happens all the time. It's not what you do, it's who you know. You know the politics of it all. Somebody else, I deserved it, and he got it. I deserved it, she got it. That's not fair. No, it isn't fair, but life isn't fair. Let me give you the cold, hard brutality of life. It's not fair. And God is not there to make it fair. God is there to show himself bigger than the situation that's not fair. And at that point, you don't have to worry about fair anymore. That wasn't fair. That wasn't fair. That's not fair. You don't have to do that anymore because you know it's not about what's fair. It's about what does God want and what is God's purpose. And Joseph's life will prove that in the end, it's not about fairness that determines anything. It's about God in heaven who determines everything. So what if it isn't fair? It's not fair. Well, you need to get over that. And God's going to help you get over it. You say, how? You get to go through Potiphar's house and discover that life isn't fair and somebody else gets the blessing and you get betrayed and life's not fair. You're right, it's not. It's not. And it came to pass, verse 5, and it came to pass from the time that he made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. This man prospered through Joseph. He made this guy's house something. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. The only thing Potiphar knew about what he had in his cupboards and in the pantry and in the fields and in the barn was whatever he was eating that night. That's all he knew. Everything else totally in Joseph's hand. 100% trust in Joseph. Oh, he trusted Joseph. So much so, he handed him the checkbook, the account numbers, the cash bag, everything. Didn't even worry about it. Today it was Potiphar. Tomorrow it's going to be Pharaoh. He's going to do the same thing. Verse 7, and it came to pass after these things. Ooh. Anytime you find yourself in a garden situation, look out, there's a snake coming. It's just part of the journey. All these things are just part of the journey. If you want to understand the Christian life, study somebody else's life and realize these are things on the journey. When you find yourself in a sort of a calm period, things have calmed down a little bit for Joseph. It's settled just a little bit. He's encountered some grace. He's been made an overseer. He's had some prosperity. And snakes just love to come in to beautiful gardens. So you really believe in all that demonic stuff and Satan and, yeah, he's the prince and the power of the air. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Satan's real. And somewhere in your journey, yeah, Jesus, he had his hour of temptation. Yeah, he went to the wilderness, and Jesus and Satan had it out. I don't know what it will be. And it may not be what came at Joseph here. It may be a totally different type of temptation. But Satan's coming in to your garden. It's part of the journey. It's one thing to be hated by 10 men. It's a whole different thing to be what appears to be loved by one woman. A young boy, barely man, who doesn't get Friday nights off to go out. You understand, he's been bought, he's owned. Something's about to come his way by way of opportunity. He wouldn't get it anywhere else. Satan's in the garden. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife, now I'm just going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to say the only person in Potiphar's house that could possibly bring down Joseph would have been Potiphar's wife. I don't think there's another servant in the house, Egyptian or not, that had enough clout to bring down Joseph, especially on a false accusation. The only one. Satan knows exactly who to work through. He always does. Potiphar's wife. She cast her eyes upon Joseph. Joseph wasn't after her. She was coming after him. And she said, "Lie with me." But he refused. Circle that. He refused. He refused. Now listen to his rationale. I want you to understand this. He refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master woteth not what is with me." Woteth simply means he knows not what is with me in the house. And he hath committed all that he hath to my hands. He's placed everything in my hands. He is another man who through grace placed all of his wealth into my hands. Do you see that? "Behold, my master woteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand." There's none greater, nobody with more authority in the house than me. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything. He has not withheld anything from me. He has given everything to me. This, my friend, is called grace. Hello? There is none greater in his house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness? How can I do this to a man who has given me all of his wealth and all of his riches and has trusted me with everything? He has bestowed such grace upon me. There's no way I could do this. It was a revelation day, the day I realized that the most empowering, strengthening, virtue that there is in spiritual warfare is the grace of Almighty God, and understanding that He has, without reservation or limitation, given me all of His riches, all of His wealth, all of His love. Everything has been placed in my hands. And based on that, Satan, how can I follow you when I have a master like this? Joseph didn't say, what? If I did that, why, he'd skin me alive. If I did that, he'd throw me in prison. If I did that, do you realize what I would get if I did that? There's no way I'm going to do that. No, he didn't say that. That was not his rationale. Thou shall not was not his rationale. Thou shall not commit adultery. First of all, hadn't even been carved in stone yet, but that was not his rationale. That was not his thought process. He did not have a list of commandments that he pulled out and said, whoop, nope, I'm not supposed to do this one. He said, I met a man who gave me everything, trusted me with it. I'm sorry, but I cannot betray that. May I say this morning, the ears of grace do not listen to the words of Satan. And the ears of grace are more powerful in your life and in your heart than the ears of law will ever be. Because the ears of law are ears of flesh, and the only thing they can do is yoke up with law, but the law is too weak to control the flesh. You need ears rooted in the grace of God that hear the beautiful message of grace. God has gifted you with everything through Jesus Christ. And the more you know that, the more you realize, wait a minute, I can't do this and betray the one who has bestowed grace upon me. And the Lord was with him. I'll hasten and I'll be done here. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph, verse 10, day by day, it's miserable when there's somebody or some situation that you have to face every day. You can't get out of it. You can't get away from it. You didn't ask for it. You didn't choose it. It's there every day. Day by day, she spake to Joseph. And he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. On this day, she didn't have to be so careful. There's nobody there to hear. On other days, she had to be a little more discreet. This day, everybody was out of the house. This day, verse 12, she caught him. Oh, she caught him. Why does God allow the wicked to catch the innocent? It's part of the journey, and you may find yourself there someday. She caught him by his garment. Oh, this boy and his garments. Talk about the tale of two garments. That's the life of Joseph. First garment of favor got ripped off of him, dipped in blood, carried to dad, lie forged. Father, absolutely brokenhearted, devastated, going down to his grave like that. Oh, that garment of favor and the fabricated lie. And now the serpent in the garden has another garment ripped off of him, and she's going to fabricate another lie. This boy, is this the worst of luck? No. No, it's called the plan. Oh, that plan. She caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me, and he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out, which is the only thing he could have done. He's in a completely indefensible situation. There's no court going to hear his case. There is nothing he's going to do. He is totally pinned in. Why? Part of the plan. It came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, she called unto the men of her house. Now she's calling people into the house. Fabricating your lie. Careful, some people who appear to love you don't really love you. There are the haters that are obvious haters. Some people kiss you on the cheek. Be careful, sometimes they can do you damage too. She called the men in. "See, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." You may find yourself someday accused of something that somebody was actually doing to you, and they blame you for it. It's sometimes part of the journey. I don't know, maybe it won't, but it might be. Just be it known, if you find yourself there, the Lord is with you. "And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out." Verse 16, "And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home, and she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled." Joseph's master, the master who had been so blessed, the master who had prospered, the master who got the blessing, that master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. Oh, this is a step closer. This is actually a step closer to Pharaoh than Potiphar's house was. This is putting him real close to Pharaoh. And he was there in the prison, verse 21, and I'm done. But, that word means contrast. It's different than "and," it's "but," meaning what you're about to hear is totally different than what the situation really looks like. But the Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar, you got your blessings, but the Lord is still with Joseph. And I don't know what pit you're in. I don't know what land you're in. I don't know what's been stripped off of you. I don't know what your struggles are. I don't know who you've been sold to. I don't know what brought you down in life to a place you would have never chosen to go. I don't know where you find. I don't know what prison you're in today. I don't know. I'll just close with this. I just want you to know today, I'm here today to tell you, regardless, the Lord's with you. Amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you that you are with us through our struggles, through our times. When life looks so crazy, it almost would cause us to stop and wonder, am I doing everything wrong? Have I like totally missed it? And yet it's just all part of your sovereign plan. Like Joseph, he didn't miss it. He was right on schedule, according to the plan, to ultimately hook up with Pharaoh. And through it all, you were with him. Thank you for being with us. I pray that you'll just sear that into our hearts today. You are with us. But the Lord was with him. I thank you for that. Amen. And thank you so much for being here today. God loves you, and the Lord is with you. If you're at Potiphar's house, life can feel really crazy, but the Lord's with you. If you haven't even made it to Potiphar's house yet, you're still in the pit, the Lord's with you. If your promotion out of Potiphar's house looks like a trip to jail, well, the Lord's still with you. And regardless of the events, God will get you to your purpose. Because he's bigger than life, even when it's not fair. So don't lose faith in God. The Lord is with you. Father, thank you for this message this morning. Amen. You're dismissed.